There's a common theme that runs through each of our readings this morning, a theme that in essence speaks to us about idolatry and greed, about focusing our hearts and minds on temporal rather than on eternal things. In our first reading this morning, the prophet Hosea reminded the people of Israel of God's everlasting love for them, that God had saved them from their slavery in Egypt and had given them a new home and a new land. But the prophet also points out to the people of Israel that even though God has loved them and liberated them, that they have turned their back on God and had begun worshiping false idols. When Israel was a child, the prophet writes, God loved Israel and brought Israel out from Egypt. And yet, despite God's deliverance and delight in them, and the more God called after Israel, the more they turned away, sanctifying their allegiance to pagan gods and offering their incense to worthless idols. Now, Israel's unfaithfulness in this way would surely have grieved God's heart, and understandably would have also warranted God's anger. But instead of anger and retribution, it is God's gentle correction that the prophet pronounces, and God's enduring compassion that the prophet proclaims. How can I give up on you, O Israel? I will not execute my fierce anger. My heart recoils within me, and my compassion grows warm and tender. In this text, the prophet Hosea reminded the people that God loved them very much, and his prophetic words likewise remind us that we too are loved by God. And just as God wanted Israel to turn away from their idolatry in order to focus on celebrating and manifesting their loving relationship with God, this text from Hosea likewise challenges us to realize that God wills these very same things for our lives and for the life of our faith communities. In a similar way, in our second reading this morning, we hear the words that were attributed to St. Paul and written to the Christian community that was living in the first century city of Colossae, warning them that they too were drifting away from their relationship with God. Just like the Israelites back in the time of the prophet Hosea, the Colossians were also turning away from God. And so the author of this epistle wrote to them and implored them to return their focus toward heavenly things, rather than focusing on those earthly things that can so easily lead to idolatry. Set your minds on the things that are above, the author writes. Put to death that which is idolatry, and clothe yourselves in the image of your Creator. And then finally, in our gospel reading this morning, we hear a familiar story of Jesus, a story, in fact, that Gary mentioned in his sermon last week, a story that warns against a particular form of idolatry, and one which is specifically mentioned in the text from Colossians, and that is the idolatry of selfishness, or of greed. In other words, putting our own wants and desires ahead of the needs of others, and ultimately, ahead of the will of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I used to get into some pretty fierce struggles with my two sisters. And occasionally those conflicts would occur when it came time for us to share something, like a chocolate bar or a piece of cake or pie that needed to be cut into three portions for us to share. In such instances, we would frequently argue and fuss that someone else got a bigger piece than we did. And so my mother eventually came up with a way to try and mitigate these struggles and help us to focus more effectively on sharing things fairly without all of this fuss and fighting. And the way it worked was that each time it came to share something, like a piece of pie or a chocolate bar, we each took turns being responsible to divide things up. And that rotation was based initially on our descending ages. And the catch, of course, was that the person who did the dividing up each time was always the last person to get their piece. And the other two of us got to take our share first. And for the most part, this worked pretty well, because the person responsible for dividing things up each time had to focus extra hard on ensuring that the pieces were as equal as possible, knowing that they'd be the last one to get their piece. And so in a sense, I suppose, we learned to be a bit less greedy, perhaps, by learning to focus extra hard on trying to make sure that everyone had access to an equal share. Now, I suspect that some of you may have also struggled in similar or even more pronounced and protracted ways with some of your siblings. It is sadly a very common predicament. And it's precisely how our gospel story begins this morning. A man comes to Jesus to complain to him that his brother refuses to share with him the family property. And Jesus uses this instance to tell a story that warns this man, and indeed that warns all of Jesus' followers, including us, about the dangers of selfish greed. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop, Jesus told them. And the man said to himself, "What am I to do? My barns aren't big enough for all of this harvest." Then he concluded, "Here's what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And then I will gather all of my grains and goods and I will say to myself, 'Self, you have done well. You've got it made. And you can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.' Just then, God showed up and said to him, 'You fool, tonight you will die. And as for your barn full of goods, who gets all that?' That's what happens, Jesus says, when you fill your barns with self and not with God. I think it's a sad and troubling reality that so many of us who already possess the necessities for a good and indeed abundant life still find it hard, if not impossible, to say no to the ever-increasing cycles of accumulation and consumption. We so frequently seem to feel that we need more and more and more. More money, more power, more possessions. John D. Rockefeller was, of course, one of the wealthiest men in the United States in his day, and reportedly someone once asked him, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much money would it take for you to feel really satisfied?" And Mr. Rockefeller allegedly said, "Just a little bit more." It's interesting. Like the rich man in this morning's parable of Jesus, like the people of Israel in the time of the prophet Hosea, and like the Christian community living in Colossae, we too at times are similarly subject to the same failings and follies that they also encountered. Because we too at times are prone to worshiping our own false idols, of failing to set our minds and our hearts on the wonder and on the will of God. We too are often preoccupied with our own pursuit of possessions, on seeking a false and fleeting sense of fulfillment in life by acquiring and storing up more and more stuff. And so there's a need for us to hear again the message of this morning's scriptures. There's a need for us to be reminded of Jesus' warning about greed, because there's a need for us to reorder our priorities toward God and to becoming rich in God's eyes, rich in our faithfulness and devotion, rich in our gentleness and compassion, rich in our pursuit of God's justice and peace. And the more, in fact, that we are endlessly bombarded with the prevailing and pernicious notion of our society that money and possessions are the measure of our worth, the greater is the need to counter that idolatrous belief with the message proclaimed in our scriptures this morning. A story is told of a Christian man who once took his son to visit a rich landowner, and the landowner took them to a vantage point on his ranch where they could see in all directions. And pointing to the west, he said, "All that is mine as far as you can see." And he did the same thing, pointing to the north and to the south and to the east. And then he turned to the boy and he said to him, "What do you think of that, son?" "Well, sir," the boy replied, "there's one direction you didn't look. You didn't look up." The heaviest toll that greed takes in our lives is precisely that. It keeps us from looking up. It keeps us from focusing our gratitude and our humility, our gratefulness and our generosity on the Maker and the Creator of us all, who will one day soon, sooner than we sometimes like to think, will call us to account for the focus and for the faithfulness of our lives. Beware, Jesus says, and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when someone has an abundance does their life consist of their possessions. Amen.